Tuesday, November 22nd, 1983, Chapel at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Our student-led Thanksgiving worship service being led by Dennis Kraft. Tuesday, November 22nd, 1983, the chapel service at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Our speaker today, Dennis Kraft, student at Southeastern.
Good morning. That's pretty weak. Good morning. Thank you. I'd like for you, right before we sing the first hymn, which is hymn number one, Holy, 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 I'd like for you to stand up and move down a little bit. This is a time of thanksgiving and praise, and we want to praise together. So I hope that you will just stand right on up. Let's do it now while we're at it. Just stand up and come on down. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Father, we can come and praise your name this morning. We thank you for all your blessings, Lord, and Lord, for the things that we obviously see, and Father, for the things we often take for granted, we thank you for those as well. We lift up this service to you, Father, asking that you'll take it and use it. And Father, we pray that lives will be touched and changed, and Father, that we may know you better. Father, help us to truly praise and worship you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This morning, coming to share with us in music will be Randy Ennis. Randy is a second-year student, an MDiv student from Raleigh, originally from Kansas City, Missouri. He is a graduate of ORU. Dennis Kraft will be leading us in a short meditation this morning. He is a second semester MDiv student from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and a graduate of UNC Chapel Hill.
Have your worship program with you. I'd like for you to pick that up. The song that we're going to sing right now together, emphasize together, this is not a solo, this is a worship song. And we sang it about 3 weeks ago in the student revival services, and if you were here, you might remember it. If you weren't here, it'll be a new song to you. It's called The Lord is Present in His Sanctuary. Let us praise the Lord. And this is a song that emphasizes the Lord's presence in our midst. For where two or three are gathered together in His name, He is here among us. And He is here this morning. As we sing this, I'd like for you to stand. And then after we finish the song, we're going to have a time of meditation where you can worship the Lord yourselves silently in your heart, and you can lift up a word of praise to him from your own mouth and in your own words. So be sure to remember that after we finish this song. I'll sing through the first verse of this so that you can get an idea of how it goes. If any of you do know it or remember it, and you want to sing on the first verse, feel free to. And then everybody else join with me on the second verse. All right? The Lord. Remain standing for the meditation.
We'd like to take a moment to let you participate in this Thanksgiving service. We're going to open it up to you just to give a time of Thanksgiving, to share something that the Lord has meant to you or something you want to praise the Lord about. Nothing real long testimonial, but just a Thanksgiving to the Lord. I'll start. I'd like to thank the Lord for another beautiful day. It's yours. Thanksgiving is a time that we need to share together and be grateful for what we do have and can share with one another. So I hope we will continue to praise the Lord and thank Him for what He has given us and for what He will give us. And let us continue to worship Him now.
Thank you.
Amen and amen. How do you stand and speak when the ministry of music is that powerful? I am really humbled before you this morning. Indeed, we have so much to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. You know, sometimes I just don't really appreciate that, I suppose. And when I hear music like that, it just stirs me to think of what heaven must be like. And I give thanks to God for that. I give thanks to God for salvation in Jesus. And I know that I don't always show Jesus how much I love him. And that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning. I don't want to just mutter my thanks this Thanksgiving. I hope that my life will be a thanksgiving to God. I'd like to just say that I appreciated all the sharing. But one particular one really gave me a better starting point than the starting point I had. The young lady mentioned she wanted to give thanks for the pain that brought growth. That's precisely what I would like to speak to us about this morning. Yesterday, when I was playing basketball, I really had an incident happen to me that really humbled me and helped me see, you know, an area of growth that I have in the Lord as his disciple. I'm a very competitive young man, especially on the basketball court. Who knows why I'm that way? I offer no excuses to God. I'm simply that way, and I would like to improve. A brother that I've had very good fellowship with, he and I disputed a call, and before you know it, we were hollering at each other. And, you know, I got to thinking, and after the game, and we both cooled off, we both said we were sorry, and, you know, I apologized to everyone else in the game, but I felt really lousy. And I said, Dennis, you're going to be climbing in that pulpit tomorrow, and look at the heathen that you are. But, you know, making our lives a prayer to God and dying daily to Jesus is a thanks living, a thanksgiving. What really concerns me, brothers and sisters, is just how much time we do spend at Southeastern in the cerebral. I think we should continue to grow in the Lord spiritually, to be sure that we're getting our worship, to be sure that we're praising God, to be sure that we are repenting and growing and glowing. A Southeastern Seminary Thanksgiving 1983. Shouts of rejoicing and shovels of rebellion. Turn with me to 2 Peter, the first chapter, and the 5th through 11th verses. I'm reading from the King James. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things be blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly, into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us rejoice this Thanksgiving in the 11th verse about our salvation. But let us remember the 5th through 10th verses in the working out of our salvation and giving thanks through our lives. Indeed, brethren, we have much to rejoice about this Thanksgiving. We have eternal life in Jesus Christ. But before we take this for granted, as soon as it passes our lips, as we bless the Thanksgiving table, let me ask, are we truly giving thanks for this blessing when our lives fall far short of Jesus truly being Lord of our lives? Should not our giving thanks be living as if we're thankful? And I remember the incident on the basketball court yesterday. Truly, brethren, if we're to give thanks, then we must die to ourselves and live to the discipline of God. Because we don't, we go from rejoicing in the life of Christ to digging the grave of God and digging the grave of our faith. Indeed, by grace we are saved, but it is my firm belief that we crucify Christ afresh when our faith is without works. Though we fill our stomachs on turkey and rich stuffing this Thanksgiving, we refuse sometimes like obstinate children to feed on the bread of God. Have we forgotten that Jesus suffered for our sakes, that our souls, wicked as they are, might rest in the presence of God for eternity. We sacrifice little of ourselves in return for his love. Indeed, many of us thinking ourselves brilliant members of the seminary community would say perhaps Paul's understanding of the sacrifice of Christ for our sins is a barbaric conclusion based upon faulty Pharisaic presuppositions. In line with Albert Camus, we may say that such a belief is horrific. To imagine such a murderous God who requires the blood sacrifice of his son on a cross. We must explain the cross some other way, say we, the more brilliant of men. So here at the seminary, we spend a great deal of time and energy bashing argument against argument and rhetoric against rhetoric, trying to prove to ourselves who is the most intelligent theological innovator, when the Word of God just plainly says, Jesus died for our sins. The world lies in ruin, awaiting disciples of enough gravel in their gut, mercy in their spirit, and fire in their soul to come and heal them with the gospel. Sometimes it seems that we feed not on the manna of the Word of God through Scripture, but we feed on our prideful desires to be the best and the brightest. Remember that Jesus did not choose his disciples from the University of Athens. He chose them from the fishermen's docks. It seems we move from a respectable search for an understanding of Scripture to unmeritous, unnecessary tampering, endangering the precious gospel in a crucial time. Can we not hear the shovels chunk ever further down into the earth as we prepare the grave of God this Thanksgiving? It must be said at this point that when Jesus is Lord of our lives, it becomes readily apparent that we're imperfect. But this is no excuse for spiritual slackness, Dennis. I believe that we as students of this seminary need to prioritize more time to neology than theology. The key is not to be perfectly sinless, but to be perfectly repentant. Always be ready to admit our flaws and errors, both of thought and of character. Keep growing in the Lord. Die to ourselves and let the Holy Spirit mold us after his will for us. Struggle not with continual questions that have no certain answers, but prioritize our energies to the effectual ministering of the gospel of Christ to the world. Romans the 6th chapter, 1st and 2nd verse, and 10th through 13th verse tells us, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, who are dead to sin, live any longer therein? For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of the righteousness of God. For example, brothers and sisters of Southeastern, can we rejoice and give thanks this holiday for our active prayer lives? Certainly it is evident that we don't pray together here. Is there an active, consistent prayer group on your hall? Have you thought about starting one if there is not? Are we committed to prayer with our fellow disciples? Are we committed to sharing needs and prayers with our brothers and/or sisters of our eternal family? If we are not, why not? What earthly excuse can we have when we as leaders of the flocks of God, encouraging the world to pray together, when we ourselves don't pray together? What shall the world think? Can we not see the spades mounding the dirt higher beside the grave of God? As another example, Why are we not reaching out to this community in an effort to both bring souls into the kingdom of God and simply to show this community that Southeastern cares? Have we become so professional that we await being employed before we put our heels to the sidewalk and our hearts to the test? Where are our priorities? Deeper and wider, the grave of God yawns as our credibility to the world dissolves. Should not our rejoicing this Thanksgiving be followed by sighs? As a further example, since we must spend so much time with our books, are we spending a daily disciplined time of scripture and prayer with the Lord? If we forsake our time of settling down and establishing our center, then I believe we shall behave and think as if we have no center. For you see, and you know, easily our minds slip into rebellion. Easily our hearts are troubled with doubts. Easily our souls are fired by lusts that eat away at our holiness. We must take care, friends, for rebellion has its price, whether we preach that today or not. The wages of sin is death, whether or not our theologies or philosophies can handle it these days. If we accept Christ into our lives, we are saved. But only if we sow the seeds in deep, fertile soil. We must be disciplined, trusting as a child, easily repentant, and ever reverent of the holy word of God if we are to resist the principalities and powers that wage war against the cause of righteousness. Let us shoulder our shovels this Thanksgiving. We indeed have freedom in Christ, but this freedom is tempered by obedience to the Word of God. We have not the freedom to believe as we like. Did Paul struggle in vain with his rivals in the infant years of the church? Was his struggle to announce the only true interpretation of the gospel meaningless? It seems so when we make ourselves latter-day rivals to the gospel of Paul's authority. We must not take our discipleship lightly. We are not disciples when we have little discipline. We are bought with a great price, even the body and blood of Christ, God's Son. In this we rejoice this Thanksgiving. If we give thanks for salvation, then let us give thanks also for God's discipline. If we do not rejoice in God's discipline, then we, even as ministers, must repent of our prideful ways. We want to run things our way when Almighty God would have His way. And we must repent today, for no day is better than today to shed the sin that we know is in our lives. We must die daily to Jesus, forsaking our own vain philosophies for the truth made evident to us in Scripture. Yes, we rebellious grave diggers have freedom, but certainly not the freedom to cast ourselves adrift on every wind of doctrine, only to cast our faith upon the rocks. We especially have no freedom to shipwreck the faith of an already anguished world. We must take on the whole armor of God. We must eat the meat of the Spirit and get off of the milk. We must take our calling seriously for direly serious times. For no calling of God is any less than serious. It is a dark hour in the history of the world. Friedrich Nietzsche said that the church was digging the grave of God. Shall we not prove him wrong? The light needs not only to shine, brothers and sisters, but shine ever more brilliantly than it ever has before. Will you be a part of this light? Each of us in every way, wherever we stand before the Lord, know that we need to commit ourselves further, draw ourselves closer to the fellowship of God each day. If we're to preach that to the world,
Shouldn't we take on the mantle of doing it ourselves? No, we're not perfect. But it's okay to shoot for the higher calling of God, for the higher goal. And we can find that in the discipline of God. We talk of the fruits of peace and joy and love, but I don't hear a whole lot of people talking about the fruit of discipline. I hope so, brother and sister, that you will choose today in thanksgiving to commit more of your life to Jesus. For I shall join you in casting down my spade and taking up the cross. Let us feast this Thanksgiving on the bread of God and continue to do so throughout the year. If we offer this bread to the world, must not we also savor its taste?
We're going to close with a hymn and benediction, hymn 231. We'll sing the first and last verses. What better way to celebrate Thanksgiving than to sing Count Your Blessings? We leave this place to worship you everywhere we go, and not just here. Father, help us to be truly thankful, to count our blessings. Father, we thank you for them. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit, with your love, your grace, and your power as we leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.